move our heart heavenward and prepare us to receive what God has for us, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I can't think of a better way to do that than singing in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, the first Lord's Day of this new year. And I appreciate you being here. I know a lot are sick and can't be here, but God's blessed you. I've got some of my own family that are sick this morning, but God's blessed us and helped us to get here, and so we might as well make the best of it while we're here and worship Him. He came. He promised that He would. He said, we're two or three. I can count more than two or three. Now, my instinct is to look around. Let me do this again so I can see. Look around and count who ain't here. That's just how a preacher does. I look for your place. I look for the person who sits in your place. And when you're not there, it bothers me. I wonder, where are they at? What did I do to make them mad? What's wrong with them? Are they sick? Did they die? Did they have a wreck on the way to church? Are they backslid? That's usually my first thought. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for being here. You have a 1,000 batting average beginning this year, being in the house of God. Only you can mess that up. I was getting ready this morning. Didn't plan on sharing this, but Ellie texts Jenny when I was in the shower, said she. I went up and woke her up earlier, and she looked like death warmed over. And she's like me; she's usually up. And so I knew something wasn't quite right. And Jenny hollered at me when I was in the shower and said, Ellie's sick this morning. What did I tell her? I said, I guess tell her to stay home at least through Sunday school and see if she gets feeling better. And I don't see her, so she must not be any better. And Jenny said this to me. She said, I remember growing up, and let's jump piggyback to what you said, Brother Jackie, about her Sunday school. Said, I remember growing up going 20 years and not missing one Sunday school service. 20 years. I mean, you didn't miss for a little cough for a cold or, I mean, yeah, that'd be something terribly wrong. And nowadays, if you get the least bit sick, and I know, listen, and she even said, you know, COVID has changed a lot of that mentality. People see you coughing, sneezing, and hacking, and but it's amazing what we used to could make it on through and come on with. Now, if you run a fever or you got stomach issues, I implore you, stay at the house. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Let's take our Bibles this morning. I got about an extra 10 minutes to preach. Brother Cam got the choir going early this morning. I said, praise the Lord. We're starting early. That was good. Good job, Cam. Take your Bibles, James chapter number 4, very familiar verse. And we'll be just looking at one verse this morning. And James chapter 4 and verse number 8. Stand to your feet, we'll reverence God's word as we read it together. If you've got a King James Bible, it'll read exactly like this. If you don't, if you'll see me, I will get you a real copy of God's word. And it's sad that we have to mention that in these days, but we do. This is God's perfect word, James chapter 4, verse number 8. There, say amen. And the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Since it's such a short verse and only one verse, let's read it again. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. And I was thinking about what the title of this, and just a simple title of the message would be, Draw Nigh to God. I was trying to think of something more catchy than that, and my fleshly side, as it does often, reared its ugly head, and I thought, If I was preaching down at the cowboy church, I'd preach on meat in the middle. You know that old, some of y'all don't know what that old country song was. Old Diamond Rio, meat in the middle. Some of y'all wasn't born yet. Some of y'all is too spiritual this morning to acknowledge you ever listened to a country song. But God said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And so I want to preach on drawing nigh to God this morning. Ain't it a wonder and an amazing thing that the God who spoke worlds into existence has an interest in you? And not just in you where you are, but in so much interest that he made it possible, and not just possible, but he made a promise and said, I'm so interested in you that I've made it to where if you want to, if you are willing to, if you will take a step toward me, I will take a step toward you. That's mind-boggling to me that the God of heaven wants to be close to me, fellowship and commune with me, but he does. However, we're going to get to this in a minute, there are some stipulations. Just any old body, any old way can approach God. And that applies across the board. Just anybody in any condition can't go to heaven. There are some requirements. There are some things that must be. Otherwise, every butcher and murderer and pedophile and wicked, vile, wretched Adolf Hitler would be in heaven. If you just said, everybody, God loves everybody. And I've heard that. I've had people tell me, well, God, everybody's going to heaven. God wouldn't send nobody to hell. Oh, yes, he will and has and will again. And they will forever be cast into the lake of fire. That will happen. That'll happen. But not just getting to heaven are there requirements to get closer to God. It's with us that are believers. That's who James is talking to. And he's telling us this promise, which is a great promise, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. If the verse stopped there, I'd be sort of agitated. I'd be thankful for the promise, but it goes on. Do you ever get aggravated when somebody tells you to do something, and preachers are the worst? We'll get up and say, pray more this year. It's 2022. Ain't that sound crazy? Just say it. It's 2022. And a preacher will say, read your Bible more and pray and go. Hey, you need to be witnessing more and tell you what to do, but don't never tell you how to do it. Or on the job, it ain't just preachers. Don't just throw all the rocks my direction. You ever been on a job, especially when you just start a new job and you're a little nervous anyway? You don't really know what's going on. You ain't got your ground, your feet settled good. And they'll say, just go down there. And I mean, they know it like the back of their hand. They've been doing it forever. And they'll say, just go down there and start that machine up and get this conveyor belt going. And you're thinking, oh, Lord, I don't know about all that. And they'll say, just go do it. And they'll turn, and they never told you how. Yeah. I remember this is so embarrassing, I should not tell it. I remember being so green behind the ears. The way I decided what I was going to do for a living, because my mama made me go to college, made me. It wasn't an option. So the night before, I let it get down to the deadline. I took that little bucket and spun it open, and wherever it flopped, I said, I'll just put my finger in it. Like some of y'all do when you need a word from God, you open your Bible and just say, speak, Lord, speak. I did that for college, and not just for college, but for what kind of profession I was going to pursue. And under heaven, the first one it landed on was horticulture. I can't even hardly say it, much less do it. And I said, I don't know what that is. I did it one more time. And land on automotive engineering. I said, all right, that's what I'm going to be. And that's what I did. And I went, I didn't know how to put a spark plug in. I had never changed a tire. And here I am going off to college to learn how to be an automotive engineer. At the dealership where I worked, It was a glass wall all the way across where the cars come in. They'll drive in. Imagine this is where they drive in. And this whole thing right here is the glass wall. So you can see everything going on and they can see everything going on in the shop. Whose idea that was beyond me. But the shop foreman was teaching, he going to train me. He said, first day, he said, go get that Lincoln Town Car. It's a Ford dealership. He said, go get that Lincoln Town Car. Had about 6,000 miles on it. And said, pull it in here and put it up on the lift and change the oil in it. My fingers got, I was nervous. And I pulled that thing, creeped that Lincoln Town Car in. Probably took me an hour to get the lift set, which you can do in 10 seconds. I got it up there. And man, I got the oil changed and I let that thing down. And my head was that big around because I changed the oil in a car. I put the oil in it, put the cap on it, put the filter, and went around there and crunk it up, and it cranked, and I was proud. And something didn't sound quite right. I said, let me give it some gas and see if I can get... And here come, I see the service manager and the shop foreman, they all come and stop, stop, stop. I had double O-ring that filter. If you pull the old filter off, a lot of times the old O-ring will stick to the block. And I put that new filter on there, and it was shooting oil all on that glass. And, I mean, and the more I revved it, the more oil was spraying. Nobody ever told me how. Nobody ever said, reach your finger up there, make sure the old O-ring didn't stay. And I got way worse stories than that that are way more embarrassing that I shall not tell. But it matters that somebody don't just say, do this or do that, and they never take the time to tell you how. And here, thank the Lord, James told us, draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And then, it's not a period there, it's a comma. Then he goes on and says, and if you want to know how to do that, here's how you do it. Now, we're going to walk through this verse together this morning. If we finish, good. If we don't, we'll come back tonight. But to kick, I prayed and thought, what could I possibly preach about this morning? First Sunday of the year. What could be a bang? And something that'll kickstart us into this new year, grab people's attention. I thought about preaching on the second coming. And I thought about all kind of stuff. What the church means, what you mean to the church. But when you summarize it all down, this is what matters more. Hey, more than anything I could pray about and think about and imagine what could help our church and you as part of our church more than anything else. And not just you, but me. Every person in this building and out of this building can draw nigh to God. If I was to ask this question this morning, who among us this morning would be honest enough with yourself and with God that would simply slip your hand up and say, this year I want to be closer to God than I was last year? Don't you? Well, sure, we all do. But ain't you glad I didn't come this morning just to get up and scream, spit, and holler, and sweat on you and say, bless God, you better draw nigh to God this year. I mean, it's going to matter. You better draw nigh. And, amen, we're done. And that's all there was to it. Some of y'all like that. Well, we got out early this morning. There's other people who felt like me on my first day at work and many other days at work when I said, yeah, you told me what to do, but I need a little more than that. Amen. How do I? I've been told a long time, Brother Ned, you need to draw nigh to God. Amen. But it's important that we take what God said. He don't waste words. He don't waste letters. If it's in that book, it's in there because God Almighty meant it to be there forever. Amen. So therefore, we should take a look and see how. How do we do it? And let's look at it this morning. By the way, so many have already set resolutions, New Year's resolutions. So many have set them, aimed high, big goals. And you'd be amazed. Study it. And look at the percentages of how many have already failed today. I'm not trying to bust your balloon. I'm just telling the truth. Ain't nothing wrong with resolutions. Now, how many of you ever said, I'm going to lose 5 pounds only to get on the scale at the end of the week and realize you gained 5? I'm going to save $1,000 and put it in my savings account only to realize you've been hijacked by Mr. The man named Insufficient Funds has robbed you. The money just went somewhere. I'm saying it don't always work out that way. But our goal should be, I can't think of a higher, more lofty, more, here it is, more attainable goal than drawing nigh to God. You say, really? It's easier to lose 5 or 10 pounds than it is to draw nigh to God. Now, listen, this is the only goal that you can set that ain't running from you. When you're trying to lose weight, that's something you're chasing. When you are trying to save money, it's something you're chasing. God said, I've set this up to where if you want to attain this, if you want to set this as your goal, take a step toward me and I'll come. I won't run from you. I'll come to you. Amen. It is attainable. It is doable. Matter of fact, it ought to be every one of our number one goals this year. It's to draw nigh to God. So, back to the verse. James said not only to draw nigh to God, but then he tells us how to do it. He didn't leave it open-ended. He got specific. And I want to say this morning. I'm not a great public speaker, but sometimes I get encouraged when I read the Bible and read these men, especially people like James. They some smooth, like Brother Jackie, he's a smooth, educated talker, preacher. And he is. I mean, his vocabulary is broader than Webster. So I'm being sincere. And he'll get up and speak so eloquently. He does. If y'all have heard him, you know that. When I announce Brother Jackie's preaching, bring your Bible, because he's a Bible preacher, but bring a dictionary. I'm just kidding. And that ain't just preaching. He'll be talking to me sometimes. I'll be like, Google. What is that? Oh. But James didn't have no public speaking studies. James just simply said it. I mean, wherever it fell, that's where it fell. However it come out, that's how it come out. And he said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Joel Osteen would have stopped there if he said any more. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. You bunch of sinners. Hey, and before you say James was wrong and anybody else who ever preaches a little stout is wrong, you might want to read up on how Jesus preached. He called them a bunch of vipers and snakes. Turned the tables over in the religious crowd and, well, I'm just simply saying I like James. He makes me feel a little more comfortable. But before we go on and dive into this, and we're going to, at how we are supposed to draw nigh, I want to give you some context of not just what James said about drawing nigh, because it's so easy to miss it. And I don't want anybody to miss it. I want everybody. I'm going to give an account to God one day and stand before God for this message I'm preaching. And you're going to give an account to God one day for this message you're hearing. And I want you to get it, not so God will check it off the list and say you did good or whatever, or they got it, but this will change our life. The goal is get closer to Him. So before we explore and dive in what James said, this is how you do it. There's a deeper thing we got to look at and listen to. Jesus said about this thing of drawing nigh. Jesus weighed in on the conversation about drawing nigh. Because, hey, If we was to take a poll this morning, about everybody in here said, I'm pretty close. I ain't too far. And until we're honest about where we are, we'll never get where we need to be. Never. That applies across the board. Even Alcoholics Anonymous tells that. Even the drug addicts, people who are trying to counsel them, they say that. Adulterous and messed up relationships, they say until you're willing to get honest and be truthful, don't expect help. So if those worldly people can say that, surely under heaven we as believers in the Word of God and the God of the Word should start there. And Jesus said this concerning drawing closer. He said in Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and their lips, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. A lot of people are saying, even this morning, you say, well, he's speaking to the hypocrites, and he's speaking to those religious people. Who do you think most people would ride by here this morning and think we are? He said, you bunch of hypocrites. You say you're close to me. You say you've drawn nigh to me with your lips. And you talk a good game. But your heart is far from me. That's key to where we're going this morning. Because this morning, if not, we ain't going to finish this morning. But we're going to look. James mentions the hands. He said, cleanse your hands. You don't draw nigh to God? This is how you do it. Cleanse your hands. Purify your heart. And I've never seen this. I've read that verse 1,000 times or more and never seen it. You're double-minded. Then he deals with the head. I'm going to show us how if we're going to draw closer to God, you flip the script on that and it first starts with your head, everything in life. And that goes to your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, everything. Then it gets to your hands and your feet. So let's look at this morning. I want to read that from what Jesus said so none of us would think we were exempt. Because every one of us. You've heard this said and I've said it. And it's a convicting statement. If you've ever been closer to God than you are right now, you're backslid. That's hard to say. It's hard to let it come out of my lips because I have to face the reality of that. And it is true. Have you ever been closer than you are now? I've been very close to the Lord. I've had experiences with God and been sold out to God and was willing to give anything I had, go anywhere He wanted me to go, do anything He wanted me to do, say anything He wanted me to say, witness to whoever He wanted, whatever. That's close. And now sometimes, rather than Him have to whisper, hey, nudge me, say, go witness to that person at the gas station. Go give $100 or $1,000. And it's like, say what? Lord, you know I got mouths to feed. Well, sure He knows I got mouths to feed. He's the one who gave them to me. But do you see how sensitive we used to be to Him, to His voice, to what He wanted, how close we used to be? He didn't have to scream and holler. And I'm saying every one of us this morning can and should draw nigh to God. So, number one, our hands. I ain't going to bore you. Listen, if this gets too boring, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 doors. You can find one. This is Bible preaching. Bible preaching shouldn't bore you. It should convict. It should challenge you. It should charge you. It should convict you. I don't find that boring. When I'm getting scolded by my mama, which ain't been in a while, thank the Lord, and she had that little finger in my face and getting ready to pull a switch to my tail. Ha! There wasn't nothing boring about that. No, friend. I might have been looking for a door, but it wasn't because I was bored. I did get paddled one time in the sixth grade. Miss Hodges, little Miss Hodges. She paddled me and I laughed at her. And she went and got the principal and then he paddled me and I didn't laugh at that. Mr. Page. Our hands. How do we draw nigh? You got to deal with your hands. He said, cleanse your hands. James said, draw nigh. But Jesus said, draw nigh with your heart. Listen, our proximity to Christ has less to do with sin, less to do with what we do and don't do, our actions, and more to do with our heart than anything else. Our hands. James said, draw nigh. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. I studied this, and you're going to see when it gets to the heart, it's amazing what this is dealing with. It goes back, and I'm going to show you in the Old Testament how the priest would have to purify themselves and their garments in order. I'm going to show you that. But first, this washing of the hands, that's a like go out and in an everyday work environment and you get dirty. You get your feet dirty. But where you walk, you get your hands dirty by what you work and touch. And so before they could enter back in and get close into the tabernacle, they'd have to go and put their hands into that laver and into that sink and wash their hands and wash their feet off before they could enter in to meet with God or get close to God. And listen, we walk in a filthy world. And we get dirty daily. How many of you got washed and got a bath when you was born? I hope y'all did. And I hope that wasn't your last one. Be amazing what that'll do for your social life if you just pick up on that a little bit. I'm saying, in this filthy world, it's going to take daily a washing of the hands, a cleansing of the hands, because we are around filthy stuff. We're around filthy people. We hear stuff and we have to be in environments to where you cannot avoid. God, hey, listen, the Bible says we're in the world but not of the world. And you're going to get your feet dirty. Why do you think Jesus washed their feet? Why do you think those disciples washed feet? Because their feet got dirty. Their hands got dirty. And so it was a daily, like when you come in to sit down at the table right before you're going to eat supper. That's even today, hey, wash your hands. Wash your hands. And that's simply saying this is the most basic form of cleanliness. James said if you're going to draw nigh to God, you can't just come nonchalant, filthy to the table and expect the holy God of heaven to come sit down and have supper with you. He don't operate that way. He crucified His Son for that dirtiness and that filth. And so the least we could do if we will wash our hands to sit at an earthly table is to physically wash our hands and cleanse our hands. The least we could do when we go to sit out the table of God is to go and put our hands into the sink and spiritually wash and bathe ourselves and cleanse ourselves before we even try to approach getting closer to Him. Amen. You say, oh, this is getting boring. I've heard this before. Okay. You ask for it. God bless you. Listen, that just means you're that much more accountable. If you've heard it over and over and over, and I have, I've preached it over and over and over. Wash up! Wash up! Hey, listen, I heard it a bunch of times in my life. My grandma would cook, mama would cook. Hey, go wash up, it's supper time. Go wash up! What if I walked in and said, I'm tired of washing up. I've heard you say that before. I'm just eating. I never tried because I knew how that would work out. I'd get the taste knocked out of my mouth and then I'd probably get sent to bed with nothing to eat. Defiance. And then we just stroll in the church. Oh, I got your attention. We'll just stroll into God's table. Pull ourselves right up under God's table. Ain't washed. Come in with the grub and grime of this world and look at God and say, feed me if you can. It's just a practical, everyday cleansing. James said, if you're going to get close to God, you're going to have to go back to the basics of daily hygiene. And I ain't talking about brushing your teeth and washing your hands to sit at a physical table. I'm talking about spiritually honoring God enough, being cognitively aware enough to say, I'm trying to get close to the God of heaven. I'm trying to get nigh to the Holy One of Israel, to the one who sits on the throne of heaven. The least I can do is wash and say, Lord, forgive me. I confess to you, I'm dirty. Lord, I'm dirty. The only way I know how to cleanse this and get my hands clean is to say, Lord, here they are. Wash me with your blood and wash me with your word and get my hands and my feet clean because I want to get close to you. I don't want to come close dirty. Amen. That's what James said. That's how you start getting closer to God. First step, on purpose, take a bath. Spiritually. Listen. The priests were instructed by God to go to the laver and wash their hands and wash their feet before they went. Let me read this to you. We're just going to get warm this morning. Our hands. Tonight we'll get our heart and our head, I hope. But I'm going to pause here and say, listen, please hear me. If you are able to get back tonight, physically able, this message, and I don't hardly ever say this, but this message gets way better as it goes. And if all you get is the first clip, you've missed it. You need the whole. And by the way, I don't even know why I'm giving this commercial. I'm being sincere, because if you care anything at all about drawing nigh to God, You'll be here tonight. If you ain't here tonight, you didn't care no way. Ain't nothing I could say, prod or probe. It don't matter how good God's Word spells it out. If you don't care enough to do something simple, I just dealt with that. You know what the priests do before they even entered into the tabernacle? They went to that laver and washed them. If you don't even come back to the sink, you wasn't interested. And God pity you, God have mercy on you if you care more about losing a few pounds this year than getting closer to God. Amen. Listen to what the Old Testament said. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash their with water, that they die not. That they die. If they don't wash, they die. You think God's playing? I know we're living under grace, but God, listen to me. The standard under grace is higher than the standard under the law. What God expected and demanded under the law was just a schoolmaster to teach us of how good and blessed God was to us. And God told those priests, if you don't wash before you enter, I'll kill you. How many of them you think God had a problem with washing before they entered? What if... You better thank God. Hey, you better thank God for grace. Amen. What if every time you got out of your car and you started to come in and you said, "Up, I ain't washed. He liable to strike me dead." That changed the way we live. But He's been so good to us, we take it for granted. And we just stroll up in here with all our mess. Like, oh, it's just God. He don't care. It's just God. It's just God's house. The point of the law, and I ain't got time to preach on this, but the whole point of the law, people say, well, God don't do that no more. That's way back then. True, but the whole point of the law is to make us so thankful that under grace that we would serve Him more willingly, that we would set the standard way higher, that He's so gracious and good to us. It's basically doing it out of a heart of love than being made to. Thank God for the freedom and liberty He gives us in Christ under grace. But for us to take that as some card, a credit card of sin and slothfulness and loose living and dirtiness, and that ain't what God intends, and we can't get closer to God that way. He's still holy. God ain't changed. And He's still holy. He goes on to say, so shall they wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout his generations. The priests had to wash their hands and the feet because they could not come into God with dirty hands and feet. Hey. Say, well, is God not interested in us anymore? I mean, because here we are, and I've got some... I ain't been to the sink this morning, and I ain't been to the laver of God this morning and bowed before Him and said, cleanse my hands, wash my feet, Lord. Does that mean God's not interested? Oh, no, friend, He is so interested. Amen. That He made a promise, He made provision, He did everything possible for me and for you that we could have a sink, and I'm going to explain that, to go to. Because if God didn't provide the sink, God didn't provide the laver and the water, His Word and His blood, the blood of His Son, how would you ever get clean? So yes, friend, God's very interested. And He cares a whole lot more than we do about us getting clean. Because you know why God wants you clean and meek? You say, why does He got to be such a stickler for cleanliness? Why does He care so much? Because He's holy, pure, right, and He knows without cleanliness, there's no closeness. And His ultimate goal, the reason He created you and me, was for closeness, fellowship. And He knows dirt and grime and sin and weights separate. And there's no way that barrier can be fixed until we first go and have our hands cleansed, which leads to the heart. We're going to stop here in just a minute. Come on. Y'all hot, ain't you? I see fans are going every which way. Me too. So we'll bump it up or down. I'll close with this about the hands, and then we'll jump to the heart tonight first. I try to think of a good way to illustrate this that you would understand. And I started to do it. And y'all better thank God in heaven I didn't. It'd be red-faced people in here everywhere, beginning with me. That's why I didn't do it. What if I took a big old red, one of them gigantic Sharpies, the big ones, red, and I stood at the door. Come here, Jerry. This ain't a Sharpie, and I ain't going to write on you because I don't think y'all write on your skin anyway. Tattoos either. Say amen right there. Look here. Y'all hot? I just opened the door for you. Ho. Name to me your sins today. Start this morning, don't stop till now. You ain't. He said his arm ain't long enough. But in picture, what if I started writing in Sharpie every sin of the day? I ain't writing on it. But imagine, oh my goodness, them big old hands too, flip that thing over. Give me this one. Flip it over. All right. Now you're in it. Now, go worship the Lord. Y'all say, y'all want to read? Y'all want to read what he's done? This morning, just look at all that. And as on your hands, and as on my hands, all our sin, starting this morning, time you woke up, there they are. I bet it'd change and make you want to go by and scrub your hands before you walked in. Because you wouldn't want people seeing. But we don't mind walking in here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Got our pretty ties on and our dress coats on and our Sunday best on. And we'll come in here and we'll wave our hands and we'll throw our hands out to whoever. But if they was marked with the sin that just started today, we'd all be walking around, hands in pockets. Be more like this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But you ain't seeing my hand. You ain't seeing my hand. Because I know what's on my hand. But we have no problem exposing them to an all-seeing God who knows. And we don't even flinch that He sees. It never crosses our mind that we're dirty to Him. You know what James is saying? God ain't got, hey, when he said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, James said, I don't care what, listen, I don't care what everybody else thinks about you. I care what God thinks and knows about you. And for you, if you're going to get nigh to Him, you better start with cleansing your hands daily. Say, but preacher, do you know what's on my hands? I don't need to know. I ain't a pope or a priest, and they can't help you either. You have one priest, a great high priest. His name is Jesus, and He's provided blood for you to get cleansed from. If you'll confess your sin, He's faithful and just to cleanse you. And I'm going to deal with the verse that's right under that, 1 John 1, 9. Tonight, I'm going to show you something really good in 1 John 1, 7 about that cleaning. Matter of fact, he says, 1 John 1, 7 says, He cleanseth. I got to read this because I ain't smart enough to tell you. Listen. We're done. Oh, it ain't but 6 after 12. Goodness, I thought it was 10 after 1. Look, we are done. I want to show you this before we leave, though, because I won't get back to this tonight if I can find it. Oh. Bite your hands. You say, well, I don't lift my hands in church no way, so nobody ever see. Let me give you a verse, just two quick verses about what God thinks about our hands. Paul said this, 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy, not dirty, holy hands, without wrath and doubting. The psalmist said this, Psalm 24:3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. And so, you know who's going to stand in the presence of the Lord? People with clean hands, pure hearts. We're going to look at the heart tonight because it's so critical. It gets more critical as you go. And obviously that verse about cleanseth is on, it's in the heart part, so we'll deal with that tonight. I'm going to be done now. And all God's people said amen. We started this morning a few minutes early. And you getting out at 10 minutes after 12. You know why I took time to say that? Everybody look up here. We're about to pray. You can bow your head in a minute. Look up here. I want you to look at me in my face. In my beady little eyeballs. Be back tonight. Be back tonight. Be back. Don't you lay out your little thing, you, or big thing, you. See how I said that? Getting away from me. Hey, y'all come back tonight. Come back. It's just getting good. Don't you want to know how to get closer? I do. And God's given me some real insight. And the most important part is what we've not got to yet. So I hope you'll come back, because I want you to be closer. God definitely wants you to be closer. And you should. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. We do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, God, for being willing to give us such a promise, God, that we could draw close to you, closer, nearer to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.